The major tug of war over marijuana is between the federal and state governments. Marijuana is still illegal under federal law, and the current attorney general has doubled down, saying several times that good people don't smoke marijuana. But the feds are still, for the moment, letting Oregon and California and several other states allow marijuana to be grown and used for personal as well as medical use. It's not just the state government that has to handle the load of new activities. Local governments have to respond, too, and they have. Jackson County is one of the top cannabis-growing regions in the state, so there's an impact on county government. Danny Jordan is the Jackson County Administrator and our guest in the studio here at the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for joining us here.
Thank you. Good morning.
So let's go back to the beginning of marijuana for personal use. I mean, how could you prepare for legalization at the county level? What kinds of things were you bracing for just as the legalization date approached?
Well, there was, you know, the ballot initiative petition that started the process, but essentially we had to wait for the legislature to then step in and decide at what level the counties are going to be able to regulate, or if we were going to be able to regulate. And essentially they set the standard of being able to regulate time, place, and manner. And so then we go through a whole process of land use. And, you know, it involves a lot of process. It involves input from the public. It involves our planning commission, our board of commissioners. It involved, in our case, legal action, appeals to LUBA before we finally got to an ordinance that stood.
Legal action over what?
Just challenges to our ordinance through LUBA.
LUBA being the Land Use Board of Appeals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Land Use Board of Appeals. And then also the Oregon court system. I mean, essentially, you know, did our ordinance specifically regulate time, place, and manner? Did it overstep? Were there things that we did improperly or incorrectly? And, you know, our ordinance was upheld through all of the challenges.
But the primary concern then for the county would have been the growing. I mean, the commercial, mostly the commercial growing, I would think, because, I mean, you're talking about as the county, you regulate the areas outside the city limits, which is where most of the agriculture takes place.
Right. By time, place, and manner, I mean in the growing of marijuana, not the dispensing of it.
And so what were some of the things that you were trying to take care of were there things you wanted to do beyond what Oregon law was doing in terms of regulating?
Well, Oregon law didn't regulate it. Essentially, they left it to the counties to regulate. So what you have is probably 36 different counties that have 36 different kinds of, you know, land development ordinances that regulate it differently. In our case, you have to look at what specific lands can marijuana be grown on. And it can be grown almost anywhere in the county. There's thousands and thousands of acres that marijuana can be grown on out in the county, the primary exception being rural residential. And essentially, only because there was a legislative change while we were in the process of adopting our ordinance that restricted it to places that can be grown for commercial purposes, and we don't allow commercial agriculture on rural residential in our county. You're looking at hours, setbacks, just everything that can involve people and disputes and proper land use, looking at issues around water, just operations, those kinds of things.
So rural residential seems to have been a major sticking point for a couple different places. I know Josephine County ran into some of this as well, and I imagine you compare notes with people in other counties. I mean, was as you look at what other counties have gone through with marijuana, does it feel like Jackson County had to do more? I mean, you are one of the major places to grow, aren't you?
Well, yeah, we are. I think between Josephine and Jackson County, we grow about 50% of the state's recreational marijuana, legal recreational marijuana. We probably grow just as much of the illegal marijuana that gets grown. And essentially the problem is that not all counties' land use ordinances are the same to start with. So we're not all starting on a level playing field. In our case, our Board of Commissioners, Planning Commission had been looking at allowing it on rural residential. In fact, I think it would have been included in the ordinance with the exception of the legislature passing a law at the very end that kind of precluded us from being able to do that.
So as the executive, I know you are the person who executes the laws. You don't make the county ordinances. Were there things you asked the commissioners to consider in the run-up to legalization?
What's interesting is when it comes to land use planning, essentially legislative and quasi-judicial issues, I don't facilitate any of that. It's facilitated through the Planning Commission, who the Board of Commissioners appoints, who are independent citizens. It is staffed by our Community Development Department, but I don't participate for the most part in those things unless I'm specifically directed towards something. And in this case, I wasn't.
So the commissioners didn't say, hey, what do you think about this as the guy who has to put it in place?
No, that's not how the process works for land development. ordinances. It's a legislative process. And essentially, I manage administrative duties of the county, and the board is specifically solely responsible for quasi-judicial and legislative actions.
So do all the departments report to you, but do they report to you the things that they're hearing from the public? I mean, I guess I'm curious mostly about how much traffic you're getting in terms of people sending emails, letters, phone calls, whatever, just to say, you need the county to do something here.
Yeah, let me first start by saying I think that a lot of people who are operating, either growing medical marijuana or recreational marijuana in the county, are doing it properly. And a lot of them are meaning to do it properly. In other words, not intentionally violating code or laws per se. But then we have a lot of also illegal grows. I would say in the thousands, probably close to 3,000 to 4,000 illegal grows in the county that don't comply with either OLCC licensing requirements or Oregon Health Authority requirements for medical marijuana. So what I hear about, what the Board of Commissioners hear about, are the people that have problems with the people that aren't doing it properly. In our county, prior to marijuana, recreational marijuana being legal, we probably had about roughly 600 code violations a year for everything the county manages for code. Since marijuana, we have doubled the number of code violations. So we're doing as much work in just dealing with code violations with marijuana annually as we do with every other code we enforce in the county.
Danny Jordan is the Jackson County Administrator. We're talking about enforcing marijuana ordinances and how things have changed since marijuana became legal in the state of Oregon. Your questions and comments are welcome on the exchange. All the phone lines do appear to be working today. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So you talked about maybe 600 code violations a year. I mean, things like, you know, trash on somebody's property or something like that. I mean, what was the general nature of them pre-marijuana?
Right. You know, unsightly type things. You might have people who are violating riparian area issues or, you know, having cars on their property or those types of kind of nuisance site. A lot of unsightly type issues. People having trailers on property they can't, multiple temporary dwellings, those types of things.
That was pre-marijuana. So now post-marijuana, what's the largest single complaint, would you say?
Oh, it goes on and on, really. A lot of people complain about water. I mean, essentially our code requires you to either have a water right or have water trucked in. There are a lot of people that use their wells to water, you know, grows, and that's not legal. It doesn't comply with code, except for very minimal exceptions. We have people that, you know, operate greenhouses, and neighbors don't like to see bright lights all night long throughout the night, and there is a limit on the number of hours you can run. Lighting, noise is an issue. A big issue is smell. A lot of people complain about the smell, especially coming here in the next month or two. Get a lot of issue about people with dogs, security cameras, fences. When it's time to harvest marijuana, we got a lot of complaints about people having trailers parked on the property up and down the street, which isn't also allowed. So just all of those types of things.
So for people who live in the country who really haven't gotten involved in the marijuana business themselves, their lives have changed, it sounds like, with what their neighbors are up to in a lot of cases.
Yeah, it's caused a lot of probably neighborly or neighbor disputes, I guess I should say. And, you know, the issue is you might have a large EFU property that's growing marijuana that didn't, and someone next to them built their dream house out in the county, and all of a sudden they're wrapped by, you know, three sides in marijuana. The value of the property where marijuana is growing may have gone up, and now these people think the value of their property have gone down. I mean, you know, there's just a lot of points and counterpoints.
You mentioned that code enforcement violations have pretty much doubled since marijuana went legal. The county did double its code enforcement violation, didn't it, too?
What we doubled was the maximum fine from mm-hmm. $10,000 to $20,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, some of these people would come in and just say, where do I write the check? I mean, when you're growing millions of dollars worth of marijuana, a $10,000 fine doesn't really cause too much consequence. And so, you know, we're doing some things to try to make it less tenable to not comply with the requirements of the code. Probably the biggest thing when we look around the county, what most people are complaining about, a lot of them are not legal grows. So they're not licensed by OLCC, or they're exceeding their limits for medical marijuana. And what happens in those cases is the OLCC doesn't enforce grows that they don't license. So it falls to local law enforcement. to enforce illegal grows. And that's a lot of work for a small sheriff's department. Most of it happens out in the county. It doesn't happen in the cities, so the responsibility doesn't fall to the cities. And, you know, they're going through and taking a look at which of these illegal grows they're trying to address first and in what order. But it's a lot, as I said, out there, thousands of illegal grows.
Yeah, I think you answered the question already because you mentioned the sheriff's office. So it does start with the sheriff's office, not with code enforcement people if it's not licensed?
So code is on the administrative side with land development ordinance. So enforcement, if you're doing something that's illegal, happens with the sheriff's office. Now, it can involve somebody who's not, like OLCC can be involved if someone's violating the terms of their licensing for growing, which does happen. And, you know, there's also not a lot of funding for this. I know people talk about all the tax revenue. So the county taxes dispensaries out in the county, but there's three of them. We have a 3% tax, and I think we collect about $85,000 a year, which doesn't go really far. In the state, marijuana tax has been really hard to estimate. In fact, I haven't even began budgeting that towards any operations because it's just we've received only a couple of payments. We received a huge retroactive payment going back a year and 8 months or whatever. But it looks roughly around $300,000 a quarter, so a $1.2 million a year. So if we had to, you know, imagine enforcing 2,000 or 3,000 grows out there. If we had to hire 10 deputy sheriffs to do that, that money's gone, and that's just for code enforcement. The impacts have been huge on a lot of county departments. If you look at our planning department, people come in to get building permits, they come in to get zoning changes. I mean, just all sorts of things to be able to do what they want to do with marijuana. Our surveyor's office is seeing destruction of corners where people go out and, you know, they're clearing places to grow marijuana.
But they're destroying the things that the surveyors need to be able to mark off the property.
Yeah, the monuments, corner monuments. And, you know, if you look at our assessment department, we have people coming in there looking for special assessments for ag or not ag. We have our water master's office clearly is involved in this. They get a lot of calls, our county council, county administration, our board of commissioners. Our roads department, we've had a lot of places where people are grading out. I mean, you'll see it if you get. You know, I fly over the county a lot. If you fly out over the Applegate area or up in that, you'll see where people have just came and graded outside of mountains. And a lot of that's happened without permits, grading permits. And so when we get water that comes through, it'll wash grading out into the county roads and the county ditches and canals, and we have to go out and clean that kind of stuff up. So there's been a lot of impact, and I think, as I said earlier, the people that are doing it right aren't the people that are causing those things. It's the people that aren't complying with the code or the law. And our Board of Commissioners wants to support the ability for people to be able to grow marijuana, but in a lawful way.
Danny Jordan is the Jackson County Administrator. We're talking about marijuana impacts at the local level. And, of course, Jackson County is one of the top marijuana-growing counties in the state, has had a fair number of impacts, as you've heard. So you mentioned when it's not a legal grow, the agency responding is going to be the sheriff's office, which is not a hugely well-funded sheriff's office. And you mentioned, too, about the not being able to really budget for the income from tax revenue from the state. I mean, are we talking a few thousand dollars, a few hundred thousand?
For the revenue from the state?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's probably around $300,000 to $350,000 a quarter is what I'm going to estimate. So 1.2 to 1.4 million a year. And we'll start rolling that into our budget once it becomes, you know, we don't take one-time revenue and budget it for staff because when we don't get it, it's gone and we have to lay people off. So we look at consistent revenue, which we call operating revenue, to be able to budget for this. Now, when I say it falls to the sheriff enforces in the county. The sheriff isn't doing this alone. Oregon State Police can be involved. Our local MADGE, our drug task force,
drug and gang enforcement, yeah.
Local law enforcement can be involved. Technically, and probably highly likely, especially in Jackson, Josephine County, the federal government is going to be involved, especially in the part that moves out into the black market.
So. Just on the money side of things, I mean, you can't. So it's a bigger issue here than what's going to happen to the money over time. And I wonder if, given things that we have heard even here on the program from growers about the glut forcing down prices, if you think is this all going to be a lesser schema of things? Is there going to be less activity out there, and therefore, A, less pressure on the county, but also B, less revenue?
Well, if I had a crystal ball, I'd be able to tell you that. I mean, that's what we don't know. I can tell you this year. We're about on par for the same number of code violations we had the year before, which means to me we're having the same kind of activity. if what you just said is true, we should also be seeing a reduction in code violations, for example. So, you know, there is a lot of this marijuana. There was just a report released last week. I don't know if you got a chance to look at it or not, but I think it was by the Department of Justice. May not have been. They may have started it and some other firm finished it. But I think it said we're producing 2 million pounds in Oregon with an anticipated need of 397,000 pounds.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah.
So it's a huge. You got 1.6 million pounds of marijuana that's exceeding the need in our state.
And where's it going to go? Yeah, mm-hmm. Big question mark there. So to criminal justice, I mean, the county runs the only jail within its borders. Has business picked up there because of the pot trade?
Yeah, well, I would say yes, but for different reasons. We see different kind of crimes coming through district attorney's office. You know, we've had some pretty hardcore person-to-person crimes where people are robbing and kidnapping. You've probably seen some of these in the paper. We don't have – you know, I'll tell you one thing that went down. If you look at our – we also run the justice court. We have a whole lot less sites coming through for possession of less than an ounce of marijuana. So we've seen some trade-offs with it. I wouldn't say that our jail's been hugely impacted because of the illegal marijuana grows, but there is some impact. And also, essentially, the decriminalization of possession of a controlled substance from a Class C felony to a misdemeanor for the first-time offender has lowered the impacts in the criminal justice system, at least in terms of the jail and supervision services. It's yet to be seen whether or not that's a good move about people reoffending, you know, if they're getting appropriate treatment or not.
So before we go, I mean, things look like they're going to stabilize at some point. I would work on that assumption as things shake out and people figure out what does and does not work in marijuana markets. But does it make it a little trickier to try to plan for the future when you've also got the federal-state difference hanging over it all?
I wouldn't say it's trickier. You know, we have a law in Oregon, and we follow the law in Oregon. The feds, you know, they've kind of went back and forth about what their position is going to be, but it appears that their biggest issue is with the illegal trade. So, I mean, that's really the issue. How is Oregon going to manage that so that the federal government doesn't step in or doesn't feel like they have to step in?
Okay. All kinds of things going on at all levels of government involving marijuana. Danny Jordan works for Jackson County. He's the county administrator and overseeing all those departments where there's a lot more activity, or has been certainly, since marijuana went legal in Oregon. Danny Jordan, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thanks for having me.